Welcome to Mad Coast Radio, diligent dialogue, dismantling crazy, one conversation at a time. Join me, your host, Susie DeKnight, as we explore all things mental and behavioral health related. Welcome to Mad Coast Radio. This is your host, Susie DeKnight, mental health professional and consumer. This week, I have a different kind of show for you. This week, I respectfully do my best to answer the question, what is the impact on the community's collective mental health after an incident of community violence, such as the recent tragedy that claimed the life of a man who is considered a local hero by those who knew him? I'm talking about Sergeant Jason Gooding, the 13-year veteran of the Seaside Police Department who was shot and killed in the line of duty on February 5th, just barely over a week ago. Today's show aims to inform on the topic of grief and loss, what it can look like, and what can be done to heal. If you or someone you know is feeling affected by the recent community violence or have experienced any kind of loss in your life, this show may benefit you. However, it is my responsibility to warn you that today's show is going to talk about an incident of community violence that many here in Clatsop County are just beginning to process and digest. There will be sensitive material shared that may trigger strong emotions of grief, sadness, even anger. While there will also be useful information about grief and loss and ideas for healing, please take care of yourself. If you think this topic will be too upsetting or triggering, if you're listening and the sadness is too much, if you have a history of post-traumatic stress disorder or express similar symptoms, or if you are in the company of children, I encourage you to consider turning off today's program. Only you can know how this content might affect you. And if you're unsure, please remember that you can turn it off at any time. Mad Coast Radio will return in 2 weeks, and I definitely want you there to join us. Please remember that Mad Coast Radio is not designed to treat or replace qualified professional help. Mad Coast Radio is here to examine the question, what does sanity look like in an insane world? I had asked Ben Bradshaw, a Crimes Victim Services Coordinator for the Clatsop County District Attorney's Office, to join me for this episode of Mad Coast Radio, and he generously accepted. We had planned to explore the impact on a community's collective mental health after a great loss, but neither of us were adequately prepared for just how difficult this conversation would prove to be. While I sat with Ben, I learned much about the man and the officer, Sergeant Jason Gooding, whose commitment was recognized by Governor Kate Brown with the Medal of Ultimate Sacrifice, which she presented to Gooding's wife. Ben worked with Sergeant Gooding in his role with the Clatsop County DA's office. They were colleagues. Like so many working in and around our local justice system, Ben has continued to work while enduring incredible grief and loss. He made sure I understood that he is not alone, that even in the face of such a devastating event, our local law enforcement and criminal justice system professionals continue to put one foot in front of the other in an effort to provide the best possible service to their communities. The man who is understood to have shot Sergeant Gooding as he attempted to serve a warrant, Philip Ferry of Seaside, was shot and also died that evening. Whatever your perspective, this is a tragic event that has impacted our community in deep and lasting ways. And still, there is evidence of hope and grace and love, community generosity, community coming together, the strength of a statewide community of public servants, their families, and the communities they serve, uniting in support of each other as we all do our best to navigate this new reality. Jason Gooding, a 13-year veteran of the Seaside Police Department, was a husband and a father to two young girls. He graduated from Sherwood High School and Portland State University. He is described as a man who loved his family, unconditionally, just an all-around great guy. According to yesterday's Daily Historian, Clatsop County Sheriff Tom Bergen slapped a sticker in the shape of a smile on the podium at Sergeant Gooding's memorial last Friday. He said the first thing everyone always noticed about Gooding was his smile. He always made every single person he talked to feel like you were his best friend, Sheriff Bergen said. These sentiments are repeated over and over in the words of those who knew Sergeant Gooding. Officers from all over the country flew in last Friday for his memorial as a show of support for one of their own and for all those who grieve this sudden loss. Ben shared with me that Sergeant Gooding is the first law enforcement casualty in Clatsop County in over 35 years. This is not a common event. Not here in Clatsop County, not in Oregon, not even in the U.S., though it appears to be an event that is becoming more common. While there are many conversations that might occur as a result of this incident, today, less than 2 weeks after the tragic news spread across our county and then around our state and beyond, Mad Coast Radio aims only to offer an opportunity for listeners to gain some understanding of how we can all support each other in the coming weeks and months in order to grieve and eventually heal our community, one compassionate act at a time. I was not able to complete an interview with Ben that I felt comfortable airing on public radio. It's simply too soon and too personal for those who knew and worked with Sergeant Gooding. To quote Ben Bradshaw, Jason's legacy of service, the loss to his colleagues and his community, is unprecedented in our collective memory. Even those who never knew him may end up directly affected by this loss. As we got to talking and he shared with me some of his experience working with Sergeant Gooding, the incredible sadness he sees on the faces of both familiars and strangers, and the effort and integrity of Gooding's colleagues during the past 12 days, the attempt to address the question, what is the impact on the community's collective mental health after a great loss, became too difficult to focus on, only sending home the message of just how devastating this loss is to our neighbors, friends, and strangers on the street. So how do we make sense of this, and how do we heal? Like so many things in life, there are few certainties, but what follows is an attempt to support those who suffer and struggle and to inform the community's collective mind. Loss and change in a community following an incident of violence such as this can be very challenging for the people directly affected. However, there are also implications for other workers, businesses, industries, and the community as a whole. People vary in how they respond and what affects them. Some people may be managing the situation. However, others may be finding it difficult to cope and are unsure of what the future may bring. Importantly, most people do experience healing and recovery following painful experiences as they rebuild their lives and develop new strengths. While recovery takes time, there are things we can do for ourselves and others that helps the healing and rebuilding process. As an individual, you may be wondering what you can do about this situation, how you can help, and what effect your contribution is going to have. We need to remember that the community is made up of individuals who, when working together, can make a difference. As individuals, we bring special qualities and experiences in dealing with personal and community loss and change, which we can use to assist others. Our challenge as individuals and a community is to ensure that we look after ourselves, our families, our friends, and other people we know. People under stress are often so busy dealing with day-to-day life that they do not notice the physical and emotional signs that indicate they are not coping. It is important to watch out for signs of stress in ourselves and in others, then find ways to strengthen our personal resources and access support as needed. For those of you who may be having some trouble coping or know someone who might be struggling, this information is a start to regaining some control over this situation. According to SAMHSA, the Federal Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, it is not uncommon for individuals and communities as a whole to experience grief reactions and anger after an incident of community violence. Grief is the normal response of sorrow, emotion, and confusion that comes from losing someone or something important to you. Most people will experience a natural occurrence of grief after the death of a loved one, but grief and anger can be the result of other types of losses. In situations of community violence, people may experience the loss of their sense of safety, their trust in those who live in the neighborhood, or their trust in local government. The trauma and grief of community violence can be experienced by everyone. Reactions to a traumatic event are often more intense in the first weeks following the event. Usually, these reactions ease over time, although you may experience some feelings for a longer period. Media coverage or alerts about similar events, even just hearing sirens in the distance, can trigger a heightened sense of anxiety that may seem out of proportion to the immediate danger associated with them for you personally. Anniversaries and personal exposure to these events in the future may also trigger anxiety, along with experiences of associated smells or visual scenes in the media. Reactions to stress are physical and might include feeling tired, headaches, poor sleep, muscle aches, stiffness, chest pains, nausea, weight loss or gain, shaking. Behavioral reactions include pacing, fidgeting, increased eating, increased smoking, increased drinking, increased yelling and blaming. Psychological reactions include poor concentration, poor memory, indecision, racing thoughts, confusion. Socially, you might see withdrawal, overworking, avoiding contact with others or avoiding locations with lots of people, going into places like Fred Meyer's, Costco, or even your favorite restaurant may be difficult and feel overwhelming. Emotional reactions to stress can include mood swings, nervousness, worry, shame, frustration, irritability, anger. The feelings and thoughts connected to stress reactions might include feeling angry at what has happened, at whoever or whatever caused it, or those who look, act, or seem like whoever caused it. Anger at those trying to help is not uncommon, and anger at the injustice, asking the questions, why me? Why us? Oftentimes, people and communities feel overwhelmed and helpless to change the situation after an incident of community violence or personal loss. Disappointment is common. Failure, too. Blaming yourself when events are truly out of your control. Guilt for being better or worse off than others. Guilt for surviving. Regret for things not done. Shame for feeling helpless, emotional, for needing others. In our culture, it is still common, especially for men, to equate feeling helpless and emotional with being weak. Having awareness and being in touch with your feelings is not weakness. It is a superpower. Sadness for losses of every kind, longing for all that has gone, being tearful. Isolation, wanting to be alone, irritated, or can't bear the demands of being with others. Numbness is common, feeling empty inside or a loss of all feelings, feeling detached or withdrawn, having difficulty concentrating, experiencing a letdown, a sudden loss of energy and enthusiasm, maybe feeling like other people do not understand how you feel or what you have been through. Witnessing community violence and death can be traumatic experiences that cause negative mental health outcomes, particularly for children. Close relationships are important to children's development, and the loss of a family or community member can represent the loss of social capital, the emotional support that enhances their well-being. Children may experience depression, post-traumatic stress, anxiety, aggression, poor academic achievement, hopelessness, and risky behavior. These losses can even affect their capacity for relationships and diminish future expectations. To help children cope with grief, it's recommended that you allow them to talk about their feelings and to express their grief, whether that's crying, feeling sad, feeling angry, being loud, being quiet, or however they feel. Try to keep up with your typical routines. Encourage them to play and laugh. Limit exposure to violence on television. This is a good idea in general. And encourage them to eat healthy foods and get adequate rest. Excellent advice for all of us. In general, it's important to remember when managing reactions to traumatic events that the more traumatic events an individual or community is exposed to, the stronger the reaction to grief may be. When you are ready and in your own time, talk and share your feelings with others who respect you and understand how you feel. Family, friends, faith leaders, people you trust. This can help ease your suffering. Eat and sleep for your health. Try to keep your routines and accept the support offered to you by people who care. Take time to be with people and pets that are safe and considerate, and express your needs clearly and honestly to family, friends, and those in the helping professions. Limit the amount of media coverage you are exposed to, and remember that laughter is as good as a dose of medicine. Recognize that although you might still have these feelings over a long period of time, they will likely be less and less intense over time. Make sure to exercise, and if you're comfortable, explore relaxation and mindful meditation exercises. Try to limit the amount of alcohol and other drug use you use to numb the pain. Because even if you numb the pain, it doesn't go away. Do the things that you used to enjoy, even if you don't always feel like it. Allow yourself to feel your feelings, to cry when you need to, and to feel joy when you can. Seek out professional help if your reactions to grief and stress begin to interfere with your ability to carry out daily activities or do not start to get better over time. You're listening to Mad Coast Radio. I'm your host, Susie DeKnight, coming to you on Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. When considering accessing professional help, you have a few options. If you're employed, you can see if your employer offers an EAP. That's an Employee Assistance Program. Many employers offer this, and it generally includes some level of counseling. For those who do not have access to an EAP program, there are several private practice therapists in the area. Find one that has an expertise in treating trauma and trauma-related stress. Remember that the most important factor in success with counseling is the relationship between you and your therapist or mental health professional. When you're seeking out a therapist for the first time or seeing someone you haven't seen before, ask questions. Find out what kind of experience they have. What kind of education do they have? What makes them qualified to offer services to those experiencing grief, loss, or attempting to recover from a traumatic experience? For those who live in Clatsop County and carry Oregon Health Plan, you can contact Clatsop Behavioral Healthcare, or CBH. You can reach them during weekday business hours at 503-325-5722, or for crisis assistance 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, call 503-325-5724. In Tillamook, you can contact the Tillamook Family Counseling Center at 503-842-8201 or toll-free at 1-800-962-2851. I'm going to repeat those phone numbers one more time. In Clatsop County, you can call CBH at 503-325-5722. Or for crisis assistance 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, call 503-325-5724. In Tillamook, you can contact the Tillamook Family Counseling Center at 503-842-8201. 1-800-662-0101 or toll-free at 1-800-962-2851. How long does grief last? As long as it takes. As long as it takes to accept and learn to live with the changes that have occurred in your life or community. For some people, grief lasts a few months. For others, it may take more than a year. It's different for each person depending on their health, coping styles, culture, natural supports, and other life experiences. How long people grieve may also depend on the resilience of the community and the ability of its members to take on the roles and responsibilities that will help restore a degree of safety and security that allows people to live their lives without interruption by the grieving process. Some of us are familiar with the stages of grief: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. These were made famous by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross over 30 years ago, as she listened to and observed people living with terminal diagnoses. Today we know that grief cannot be made tidy and predictable. You can't force an order on pain. Grief is the natural response when someone you love is torn from your life. It is a natural process, a process of the heart being smashed and broken open, of reality shifting and hurling in place. It cares nothing for order or stages. To do grief well depends solely on individual experience. It means listening to your own reality. It means acknowledging pain and love and loss. It means allowing the truth of these things the space to exist without any artificial tethers or stages or requirements. There is no set pattern, not for everyone, and even within each person. Each grief is unique, as each love is unique. There are no stages capable of containing all the experiences of love and pain. There is no finish line. This is not a race. Grief has its own lifespan, unique to you. Sometimes, pain and grief are never complicated. Sometimes you grieve because you love, and love is a part of you. Love changes, but may not end. What will happen, what can happen, as you allow your grief, is that you will move differently with pain. It shifts and changes, sometimes heavy, sometimes light. Anger will happen, so will fear, peace, joy, guilt, confusion, and a wide range of other things. You'll flash back and forth through many feelings, often several of them at once. Sometimes you will be tired of grief. You will turn away, and you'll turn back, and you'll turn away. Grief has a rhythm of its own. There is no way to do grief wrong. It may be painful, but it is never wrong. For some grief, there is no closure. Grief is part of love, and love evolves. Even acceptance is not final. It continually shifts and changes. The truth is, you will seize up in the face of pain and soften into it again and again, both things in rapid succession, as both things with silence in between. You'll find ways to live inside your grief, and in doing so, it will find its own right place. Your love, your grief, are way bigger than any stage could ever be. The only way to contain it is to let it be free. It's not all bad news. Even though you may be experiencing grief, some individuals and communities also exhibit positive changes from their experience of loss. They may become more tolerant, experience deep gratitude like never before. They may experience an enhanced spiritual connection, become more socially active, or active in making meaningful changes in the community. As we get ready to conclude this episode of Mad Coast Radio, I want to leave you with this poem by the mystic Rumi. Grief can be the garden of compassion. If you keep your heart open through everything, your pain can become your greatest ally in your life's search for love and wisdom. I wish for you all, dear listeners, an open heart. May we each plant seeds in the garden of compassion in the coming weeks. Our community is hurting. Please take care of yourselves and each other. Please join me in sending out love vibes to all those suffering and doing their best to keep on keeping on. You are not alone. Veterans, we see you, we support you. Getting help is always an act of courage. If you or someone you know is feeling hopeless, not sure where to turn, thinking about suicide, please, please call 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255 or 1-800-273-TALK, T-A-L-K, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Thank you for listening to Mad Coast Radio. I'm your host, Suzy DeKnight. You can listen to Mad Coast Radio every first and third Tuesday at 9 a.m. right here on Coast Community Radio. Thank you and be well.
I wanna be brave and keep you warm, not fade away as we float from the shore into the light, into the unknown, like thousands of straight.